matter that matters, because of all conversations that we have matter in our world, with ourselves, with our clients, and with everybody outside of us. And today I have the lovely Louisa Wilcox with me. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
And Louisa, I've been connected with on social media for some time, because we both talk about money. So she probably watches my posts, I watch hers. But Louisa does something very different than I do as well, because I definitely don't do the actual money side of things. And Louisa definitely does. So why don't you introduce yourself, probably better than I have. We'll find out all about you and your business and how it began and your journey and where you want it to go to.
Okay, fab, thank you. So hi, as Vivian's already said, I'm Louisa Wilcox. I'm a qualified bookkeeper and a money strategist, and I help female entrepreneurs with their finances. And my ultimate goal is to basically give you independence, clarity and control over your money. Because if we want to build a successful business, we need to know how to look at our numbers. So many of us spend a lot of time, especially in December, January, February, working on our business plans, but no one does the financial strategy. And to really make profit in your business, you need to know your numbers. And we do shy away from them, especially women, we really do, because it's a very technical jargon, mansplaining world. But I'm aiming to change that, and I get rid of all the jargon, because even as a bookkeeper, I don't like jargon. I like things simple and easy to understand. And I just want to make people feel more comfortable with actually looking at the numbers, because it's not as difficult as we make it.
Absolutely. And most people, even if they think they know the numbers, I don't think they do know the reality of what those numbers mean. So you can learn about, you know, the balance sheet and, you know, all of the stuff that goes on the balance sheet. But actually then knowing what that really means to you and your business is really important, isn't it? So, yeah, how did you get into this? Was bookkeeping where you began? What's your journey been?
Cool. So, I mean, my whole working world is being financed, as sad as that is. So at the age of 15, I was quite fortunate. I worked in the bank. I've worked within two different banks. And then I actually, when I had my eldest son, I moved away to be a PA for a little bit of time. And I kind of, even with that, I dabbled in the finance side. And I actually went to evening college to study to be a bookkeeper. But a funny thing is, when I went to do bookkeeping, and this is really bad, isn't it? I love reading and books. I actually thought it was to do with like looking after books in the library. So it was quite a shock when I turned up, and it was suddenly like, right, let's learn finance. It's like, oh, this is not bookkeeping like I thought it was. But I kind of fell in love with it, because I'm a bit of a, I'm a spreadsheet and a bit of a paperwork geek. Which again is quite sad. And yeah, so I then moved into an accounting practice because my son was diagnosed with cerebral palsy at 18 months old. And I really struggled I couldn't work full time with all the appointments and things. So I went part time and I got a role within an accounting office, still going to evening college to study to be a bookkeeper. And then he went through quite a major operation to help him walk unaided. And I really struggled in the working world. I got really sick of having to ask permission to go to appointments. And then it was that guilt that you get and being told that you're not then part of the team because you're not able to do your full working day, or, you know, you're being seen that you're not doing enough. And I also found when I stepped into motherhood that I wasn't given the same opportunities within the working world. Suddenly, when I wasn't able to work full time and able to give extra hours that I wasn't paid for, all of those opportunities got stripped. And that was before I moved to the accounting, that was within the banking industry as well. And then during COVID, I was actually made redundant. And I went, well, I'm a qualified bookkeeper, I've got experience, I know what I'm talking about, why don't I go self-employed? So I set my bookkeeping business up, and that's been running, well, probably come about 2.5-3 years now, top of my head, and about a year ago in 2022. And I always knew with the bookkeeping, I really wanted to help people with their money properly, understand their numbers and their finances, that's their business and their personal finances, because with my journey, I'm quite passionate about that. But I found within the bookkeeping, although I was doing their accounts, I wasn't really getting into the nitty-gritty teaching them how to look at the numbers and things. It was very much going through it. So I expanded and I sort of separated into my money strategy, where I do that. So now I help female entrepreneurs actually understand and get to grips with their numbers, because we need to know how to do our numbers probably before you outsource. And I always think, you know, there are a lot of bookkeepers and accountants out there, but if you don't know your own numbers, you won't actually know if they're any good. You know, you won't know if the information they're giving you is correct. That's how it went then. And I've continued that journey since.
I think there'd be lots of people listening and watching that will completely identify with a lot of things you just said there, Louisa, i.e. that not feeling like part of a team because you had to have time for family, and, you know, specifically a very challenging situation you've been through or are going through even actually with yours. And then actually not even having just the opportunities actually in business, because women definitely don't. There's no two ways about that. But also that not knowing the numbers, like, I mean, I've been running trainings now for business owning women for 8 years, and I've run them on every subject because obviously I cover the whole thing from foundational right through scale into sort of 6-7 figures. And the one that everybody never wants to come to is the money. And I don't mean money mindset. They'll come and do that because they know they've got some work to do on that. But the actual knowing the numbers, you know, finding out your figures, I've called it all sorts of different things. Fun with money and figures. I've tried to make it as you know, eloquent as I can, as fun as I can, as interesting as I can, as dramatic as you can. You know, if you don't know your numbers, you might fail. I mean, I've tried every strap line, every headline, every title of every event, and it's always been the least attended one. And I think there's this reality check that goes on. It's a bit like, you know, when you've dieted for a whole week, don't want to get on the scales. It's like that. Oh, have I been successful? Am I okay? Am I worthy? And I think that's why women particularly, and men don't seem to struggle with this at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite. That is what their eye is on typically. But they really struggle with knowing the reality of what they've achieved or not achieved. Of course, then they don't have a clue. You know, many people, and if you're listening to this, you know, really, do you know your numbers? Do you know what's going on in your business? Do you know how much profit you've made? How much money you've spent? You know, some will measure sales, some will measure cash at bank, and there's lots of different ways of doing it, aren't there? But actually, some will just then get so confused that they don't measure anything. A bit like some people get confused with dieting and then just don't do anything. That's me, by the way. So it's exactly the same concept. You mentioned there about your journey, your finance journey. I couldn't let that ride, obviously. So tell me more about that, if you would.
Yeah, so I think mine very much starts from, I mean, I've worked obviously from a young age. I mean, my first job was actually at 14. And I worked in a hairdresser's and I was awful. I used to like be the person who washed people's hairs, and they used to leave drenched, and they would soon put me on the coffees instead. Can't do it. It's like awful.
So bad. I was about 12, but yeah. And the woman that owned the one I worked at, I don't know where you worked, she was a very feisty Italian woman. She was, what is wrong with you? Why are you so wet? What is going on here? And I'd be like, I don't know how you do this without getting so wet. Yeah, so mystery.
We used to stand there with the hairdryer drying off their backs for them. Sorry, here's a cup of tea.
Silk blouse is completely soaked from head to foot. Yeah, no, yeah, very bizarre. Definitely didn't miss my.
Not my calling. So I've always worked, but I think, you know, and I think because I worked in the banking industry, I've always been quite knowledgeable about money. I've always had to be, and obviously but the world in that is a very different world, and people get very grumpy when they spend their own money, and quite violent as well. I mean, I've literally had things thrown at me because they've had no money in their account and it's your fault. And it is surprising what you see when you're working in that industry. But when I had my eldest son, I fell pregnant at 19. I very quickly realised I was going to be a single mum. So I went through single motherhood, and it went from obviously me being by myself, sort of money, and obviously in the banking, it's quite a good pay, to suddenly having a baby. But because I was working full time, and, you know, I was getting, at the time, I was getting over just over £15,000 a year, I didn't qualify for any help or benefits. So they do, like, at the time they did like the Sure Start or whatever it was, where you could get £500 to help you buy baby stuff. I wasn't entitled to any of that, but I couldn't actually afford to do it anyway. I then was in a place where I couldn't stay at home, so I become homeless, not because my parents didn't want me there, but they weren't able to have me there because of my mum, and that's disabled and things, so they couldn't, you know, wouldn't cope with a baby in the house. So it was quite difficult, and I very quickly, quite quickly overnight, had to suddenly go, well, I really need to manage my money, my finances. So I obviously learned quite quickly how to do all of that. And when I was obviously bringing Jace up and going through that, I had to really be quite tight with my finances, because I worked full time still. So I went back to work full time when he was about 7-8 months old, and nursery bills were over £1,000 a month. They were absolutely incredible. And I people say they were living paycheck to paycheck. I probably wasn't even getting there. And I do remember there was about 3 weeks where I lived on Weetabix pretty much. But because of my feelings over money, and it comes back to money mindset, I felt quite ashamed. And I think because of how I being brought up, and because I'd had this good job and all the rest of it, I felt like I shouldn't be in this position. So I didn't really tell anyone. So like family didn't actually really understand how difficult it was. On the outside, everything was pretty shiny. It was like amazing, you know, but actually the realities are my son was eating and I wasn't, or I would eat what was left, and feeding a baby, you don't get much left. So I very quickly wanted to make changes. So I all learned the budgeting side, and I've always been quite pleased. I've always managed to do it without really going into debt. I have used credit cards and things. I seem to have the worst luck with cars. I touch a car and it breaks. And it, just the worst luck, I've gone through so many. So for me, that was always my biggest expense, was suddenly my car's decided to break, I've got to get a new one. So I did touch credit cards, but I was always able to, by the end of the year or the next year, able to pay it off. And then I met my husband. I met my husband just as Jay's got diagnosed with cerebral palsy, and he moved in. We wanted another son together, and we also wanted to get a house. So obviously then it was the whole, right, okay, we then needed to sort of start saving up and trying to get a mortgage. You know, it's no feat, but we did manage to get that. So 25, I managed to get my first house with my husband, but we did that equally. So we both saved up the same amount and put the deposit down together. And then when Jace was getting older, I heard of an operation, because I was told when he was 18 months old, he would never walk. And I found an operation which meant he had the possibility to be able to. So for a few years, and I still do fundraise for this operation, and we still fundraise now for the physiotherapy because we have to pay private for it. And he had that operation in 2019, and I went on sabbatical leave. Obviously it was unpaid, so then we were down to one wage with two children, a mortgage, and you know, we did have two cats at this point. Not overly expensive, but it's extra cost, isn't it? So through my journey, our financial situation has changed very dramatically, and it's always very much been on the breadline, like having to really manage things and making sure that we, you know, we just have the money to keep the roof over our kids' heads. And then it sort of changed again as I went probably through my entrepreneurship. So last year, my bookkeeping business grew probably a little bit too quick. So I've made a lot of changes, which I talk about on my social media quite a lot. It grew quite quickly. And if I had continued where I was going, I would, by the end of this year, I'd have a six-figure business. But Jace, at the beginning of this year, he stopped walking. So after that operation, he was walking independently with the physiotherapy. Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. Like, he's just, what he's achieved is fantastic. But he stopped walking, and he had an emergency x-ray, and basically his left leg came 70% out of his hip. So we're waiting for the double hip reconstruction operation now, but it's meant I've had to very quickly drop all my business down and stop working. And the next couple of months I'm in hospital with him. So again, our financial situation has changed to the point where I was able to bring this money home and had to do a huge pivot on the way I'm doing business and the way I'm doing things. So my financial journey is very much pretty much been the whole time on the breadcrumb and having to really actually make sure I do know my numbers and my figures, just so we can eat and be able to take the kids away and do things. So I always talk about budgeting as in not, it's not a diet, it's not about cutting things out, but it's about knowing how your money's working for you and being aware of your financials and what it's doing. And that goes within your business too, because if you're not keeping an eye on your numbers, it's really easy to suddenly be paying out all of these things and not actually know where it's going. You know, we all sign up for something that's free for 30 days and forget about it. So it's important you actually know how your money's working for you. And that's kind of how I've always been. And then obviously doing my pots so I can put money back so we can go on holiday, we can go to the beach and enjoy life. And these are the things that I show other people how to do. And living slightly below your means as well, because we all, you know, when we do suddenly, and I've done it, you know, I went from having no money to being able to enjoy myself for a year, but you don't ever end up with any more because you spend what you have. So it's living below your means so that when you do have to cut your money down, like I've had to this year, you can actually do that and you're not then getting into tons and tons of debt as well.
Absolutely. Little known fact that I started my career working in accounts. So I was sales ledger clerk. And I also, listening to your stories, we've got quite a lot of similarities, weirdly enough. And I went for the job, and I didn't know what it was. And the guy who was interviewing me just said I'd be posting lots of things. And I thought I was going to go to the post office a lot. And what he meant was posting transactions onto the ledger. The job, I had no idea. I thought I was just going to go to them. I thought, how am I going to, I was only 16. How am I going to go to the post office? I don't drive. You think, oh, I have to walk. and it didn't turn out to be that at all. So very oddly how we both kind of fell into that. But yeah, I understand completely what you're saying. And the understanding what's happening with money, like I've always had a spreadsheet for everything. It's a bit of a joke in anybody, you know, that knows me and teams I've had buy me mugs with I love spreadsheets on them. But you have to know what's going on. You have to know what's going on, because otherwise you are completely clueless. There's so many people come to me for coaching. I've been doing this for a long time. And there's two people. The one type of business owner who is making loads of money and doesn't know they are, so they think they're not. Or there's one that thinks they're making loads of money and they're not actually making any profit at all because they're spending too much. Very rarely do they come and they know exactly what's going on, i.e. they know, you know, all of the dashboard, not just the income, but the profits and how they can pay and what they can't. And, you know, very, very few are remotely tax efficient or not doing. I'm not a money strategist, but because I've been doing it for so long and I've, you know, I started off in that world. It's really, really important. Good luck with the operation for your
son.
So that's, I mean, also the other thing I coach people on is how to have the value, how things are not valuable enough to make that effort. And you are a beautiful example of, you know, that real kind of when you have to, when the shit hits the fan, when you really have to dig deep, when you find the money, like you talked about fundraising. You know, most people wouldn't think of that. They think, oh, I need a loan or I need to get a second job. So that thinking outside of the box, because we've all got money hanging around that we don't even know about. There's things we can do. And so trying to get the business owner's mind from employed mindset, where you earn a certain amount of money and you have to go and earn more money or borrow money, and actually saying to somebody, oh, actually, you need another $5,000. What can you sell? What can you create? What can you make? How can you make that money in your business? And but that pivot from one part to the other is really powerful. And it sounds like you learned that quite early on. So as much as you've had a lot of struggles and traumas and things, they have given you that quite money resilience, if you like, that right. How much?
It's been a very quick learning curve, that's for sure. And you do. And it's right. It's a completely different mindset, isn't it? And you have to, I do think you have to kind of, in a lot of ways, go with the flow. But that's why it's important you know what you're looking at and doing so you can make the changes.
I love that you talk about pots as well, which is very Denise Duffield Thomas. So I'm a big fan of hers. And I think most good, you know, women that want anything to do with money have read her books or been to things from hers. But I know that for years, and my money story is slightly different. So I didn't have any because I used to be a compulsive gambler. So my parents were compulsive gamblers. I don't know if you know that. So actually I was brought up with that kind of lack mentality, but not because we had illnesses and things to fund, but because of that recreational nice little hobby of bingo, which is basically what it was. So it sounds really innocent, doesn't it? But actually when that grows up into all sorts of, you know, addictions, it's not so much. So I, like you, I had to buy a house when I was really, really young. I bought the house off my parents. So that taught me that whole, I was earning, and because I'm a bit older than you, Louisa, I was earning £4,800 with my first paycheck. So just to give you a clue, that gives a massive age difference. There's at least, I don't know, at least 15 years I reckon between them. But yeah, and I really had to then budget because I had a mortgage. So age 19, I had a mortgage. And I paid the bills of my house and my parents lived with me. So I didn't have a family, but I had a family. So we have a very similar story. And the outcome of that was you become really responsible and a bit too responsible with money, i.e. I can't spend any, I can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I see a lot is people not putting away money or aside or, you know, creating a budget for personal development, for going on holiday, for, I don't know, treating yourself to whatever. And I think that pots is a really powerful part, because once you start going, oh, hang on a minute, I'm going to save £100 a month. And that's the money that I spend on my hair, on having my nails done, or and it's no longer, I can't afford it. It's, oh, here is the money for that. Or I can't afford to pay £1,000 for that course. Oh, here's the money for that. What am I going to spend my budget on? And it becomes very different in the way of learning and development when you have a pot of money and you're really carefully thinking, what do I need to learn? You know, I've earned this money and I now to learn, what do I need for my business? I'm going to invest this, rather than can I afford to spend that on £300 for a day event or whatever. Very different energy. One's very empowered, one's very disempowered. So I love that you do that teaching with women. So how can people, and well, people, I'm sure it's all people actually, it's not just women you work with, or is it?
My niche is female entrepreneurs, but obviously if men and other people do want to work, then obviously I'm open to that too. But I mainly work with female entrepreneurs simply because, you know, one in three women are still actually financially dependent, but they actually think that in the next few years 75% of the entrepreneurial world is going to be woman-led businesses. And it's really important we know our numbers, and we need to change that statistic. So it's kind of why I do that, because I think as women we need to be getting on top of our we really need to.
It's like, absolutely. How many women, probably, well, whatever we call middle age these days, that have nothing? Like, they've spent their whole life with their bringing up the children. They're the ones that have not worked for obvious reasons. It's obviously, you know, more simple to do it that way because they're giving birth and they're being pregnant. They kind of get used to it. But actually have no pensions. So this, then they split with a partner. So because, and they're not feeling good about themselves, they haven't built a career, they end up in their mid-50s with absolutely nothing. Or as somebody said to me yesterday, I'm 50 and I've got fuck all. That was what a woman actually said to me yesterday. Said, right, okay, we need to help you build that business. And so building that business from that headspace is really tricky. That whole
desperation, isn't it, then?
What, you know, what have I done wrong? That whole kind of, you know, poor me, you know, which is, you know, valid because that's where they've ended up. But actually, they focus on building a lovely family and a lovely home and, you know, that whole kind of environment. So, yeah. So how do people work with you, Louisa? What's the first step? How do they come and do the stuff?
Yeah, so I'm on, mainly on Facebook, if I'm honest with you. So you're welcome to connect with me on Facebook, just as Louisa Wilcox, as Wilcox with two L's. And I've got a free group, which is Managing My Money. I do have, now I've got like a membership, and I've obviously got my program where I really teach people how to properly deep dive into it. So, and I do power hours and things. So there's a few different options, and I'm purposely keeping them very affordable because I just think it's so important that people have that option to be able to do it. Because I see so much out there and it's like £3,000, and I'm like, well, when people go into this part, they don't actually, like we say, it's having your pots, having your money, and I don't want people to have to go and get a loan or a credit card out to know how to look at the numbers. But yeah, mainly on Facebook. I am on other things like TikTok and LinkedIn and Instagram, but don't judge me on the TikTok. But no, it's you know, Facebook's my go-to. I have to be dancy.
Absolutely, and I get what you're saying. And of course, the trouble is, though, and this is just for you, Louisa, is if you're serving the people that haven't got much money at the bottom of the market, if you like, then of course you're financially still at that place. So yeah. There is a way of getting yourself from just, you know, that smaller pots, if you like, of money coming in from people, because there will be people who have got more money that still need to learn how to do and what to do with that. Because, you know, I actually about 3 years ago, just as we were coming out of lockdown, so 2 years probably, went on a retreat, and there was a woman there who'd accidentally built a six-figure business. She's in the fitness arena, and she'd blown up on TikTok talking about it, just reminded me of it. And she was like, I've got all this money and I don't know what to do with it. And she literally stood there crying. It's like everybody else in the room was like, wow, like, you know, she genuinely had no idea. I said, have you brought in more than £85,000? She said, oh yeah, where, ages ago. I was like, holy shit, you need to get an accountant immediately.
Yeah.
Threshold, you know, if you paid any tax, this has been going on for like since lockdown, so for 2 years. It's like, wow, somebody needs to help this woman. So I think people accidentally can be successful and not know where they're going or anything. But yeah, so those kind of people still would need you, Louisa. This is just a little tip for me.
Well, maybe
you.
We need to have a talk, Vivian.
Many areas, you know, I've got things that go from free right up to high ticket, because of course I love to serve everybody that's got the same issue. So yeah, we definitely can. Lovely to speak to you. And if you want to get in touch with Louisa, definitely do. As you can hear, she's very straight talking. She's lived this right from the bottom up, and she can really help you if you haven't got pots of money but you'd like to have pots of money, or you've got lots of money you don't know what to do with it, or you've got not lots of money and you want lots of money and you want to work out how you can do that. Then definitely get in touch with Louisa, and she, I'm sure, will help you. As you can hear, very honest, authentic lady, wanting to help people come out of where she's been and not struggle, because, you know, life is for enjoying, isn't it, really?
I think it's important we talk about this as well. Like you say, we do shy away from talking about our numbers, but the only way we can help each other and grow ourselves is by being open. And I'm quite an open book. I mean, I do have a podcast and I'm very open on all of it. Don't shy away from anything. So yeah.
Me too. We are very similar. And my surname used to be Cox. My maiden name was Cox. There you go, Louisa. So we have never thought we dreamed of. So always the way, isn't it? Isn't it good to talk? Beautiful to have you here. Thank you very much. You can listen to An Atom That Matters, where obviously all of these amazing people I'm talking to about their business journey and their life and how they can help you, and hopefully you can then help yourself. Thank you very much, Louisa.
Thank you for having me.